Our co-sponsor for this program is Universe Spirit, creating lifestyles and livelihoods of sustainable prosperity. Universe Spirit offers strategies for tackling humanity's most urgent global challenge, climate destabilization. Go to universespirit.org to find out how you can make a difference in our quest for a prosperous and sustainable future.
It's October 6, 2015, and this is Inside Out, The Naked Truth, coming to you live from Lupin Lodge in the Santa Cruz Mountains of California. At Lupin, clothing is optional, but the truth is always naked. And I'm Errol Strider.
And I am Rochelle Alicia Strider. Welcome to our home at Lupin Lodge. We invited you over tonight for some conversation about life's essential questions, sprinkled with laughter, good music, and a few surprises.
Our show is sponsored by Go Raw, 100% raw food that's not only good for you, but it tastes so yummy and it's so munchy and we love it. So thank you, Go Raw. We'll be back later in our program to tell you more about where you can get Go Raw. On the other hand.
On the other hand, we only see one view at a time. But with the other hand, a new perspective comes into focus and our consciousness expands.
And so tonight we're going to focus on the other hand. On the other hand, right. That's an opportunity to look at multiple. I like it. It's a new word. We just coined it. Multiple points of view and challenge ourselves to, no matter how much we may believe or have conviction in the one hand, we're saying.
On the other hand.
Exactly.
It could be something else.
So it's about paradox. It's about multiple options. It's about being able to hold two different points of view at the same time and maybe move back and forth.
So about having an expectation of something and then having to switch to the other hand to bring in something new that may get you to the same place, but differently.
I had this image once. That's the trouble with the human mind. It's got two hands.
Actually, as a mother, I remember when I had my two sons and one in each hand, and then I had the groceries, and I thought, no, this is not a good system. If you're a mother, you should have three hands.
Unless you have 14 children.
And then, oh, you're more than an octopus.
On the other hand, what we like to consider with this is paradox. I'll give you a good example of something that's meant a lot to me. On this program, we quote different books, especially the Arantxa book, because it just has a lot of great wisdom, and it gives me the opportunity to go to my other hand, which in this case is A Course in Miracles. Some people who have read them both, including myself, might find them somewhat contradictory, because the Arantxa book certainly describes a universe full of phenomena and activity and things, places, people, beings, and all kinds of busyness going on. A Course in Miracles, on the other hand, pretty much says that it's all an illusion, that we totally make it up. It comes out of our ego self, this contrived self that we come to think that is who we actually are. The whole process then is one of releasing all that illusion and coming into an awareness of the nowness that we inhabit and the truth of who we are, which is one with love, as love. Now, the Arantxa book wouldn't disagree with that per se, but it doesn't seem to emphasize it. So for years, I thought of one book as kind of the what of the universe and the other as a how-to.
On the other hand, there are so many other books professing a universe perspective. All truth is geared to resonate with you. If it resonates with you, it becomes your truth. You engage with it. You become one with it. And you act out of it. I think in the acting out of it, what happens is we realize they're all the same. They're all taking us to the same place in different vehicles. One's taking us in a coach, another's taking us in a super jet.
A rickshaw.
Helicopter.
And a chariot.
Yeah. Every form you can think of that is a truth is really a vehicle.
Speaking of profess, I'd like to ask Professor Umbridge to come in and weigh in on this. Professor, do you have another hand, another perspective?
Well, of course I do. On the other hand, perhaps I don't. You see, it can go in the most minute set of circumstances. But yes, on the other hand, when you consider that reality is a phenomenon that's completely, utterly beyond the comprehension. I mean, for example, just the simplest thing. You think you touch things, but you actually don't touch things. On the other hand, electrons, which are bouncing off your fingertips and the object that you think you're touching, are pushing off each other. So you're not really touching. All you're experiencing is this electronic fisticuffs that's going on there. On the other hand, it does feel like you're actually touching something. So there you are, caught in the paradox once again.
I was not going to show up tonight because Lord Umbridge usually comes on this program and he always tells me what happened. And to tell you the truth, I'm very envious. This is Lady Umbridge.
Well,
you know,
hello, dear. So glad you could join us
tonight.
Well,
I had to show up. If you're talking about the other hand, to me, it's always the male and the female. And I'm on the other hand, me, the female of the Umbridges. The way I look at it, truth we're talking about. Are we talking about the truth right now?
Yes, unless you want to other-handed that.
The truth. I don't believe that the word the truth gets to the truth.
Ah.
On the other hand, what we're looking at is something that feels to us as an absolute, something that gives us comfort and security. We know it's there. It always exists. It always will exist. Be very good to us. Oh, once in a while, will spank us, but not a whole lot. The mother-father whole thing that came out as God, that we have parents. Of course, most humans don't have parents anything like God, so it's a big stretch. But nevertheless, we want to be told what to do and everything when we're really little, but when we get older, we enter into a collusion with the universe, and that is the other hand. When we exert our power and become one with the truth because we can't see it, we don't know it, we can't even use words for it. That truth is so much bigger than our minds can really comprehend that when we become one with that, we probably will no longer be in a body.
On the other hand, we do enjoy having this kind of interaction, and this does seem to be something of substance that we are all interacting with. And a continuity of our beingness that seems to persist through time, through all the changes, for example, that the body has gone through and we continue to exist. On the other hand, the question that obtains is, what is it that's worth interacting with? To what extent is what we interact with a fabrication, a flight of fancy, an illusion, if you will? And how would you know if it is an illusion or not?
I do believe that the interaction produces something always. And if what it produces fulfills you, makes you feel good, the chances are very good that's all you need at that moment in time. I don't think that we can comprehend what you're talking about in our mortal bodies because we're all senses. We feel, we touch, we smell, we see, we speak, we do all that stuff. To take that away, which is what does disappear when you enter into this realm of truth that is absolute. You're not a sensory being anymore. You're something else. And it's much too hard to comprehend.
On the other hand, one could think of life as like being in this body for a temporary thing is for rent. We're renting it.
I haven't ever really found a place that I call. Never stick around quite long enough to make it. I apologize, but once again, I'm not in love. But But it's not as if I mind that your heart ain't exactly breaking. It's just a thought, only a thought. But if my life is for rent and I don't learn to buy, well, I deserve nothing more than I get, 'cause nothing I thought that I would love to live by the sea, to travel the world alone and live more simply. I have no idea what's happened to that dream, but there's really nothing left here to stop me. It's just a thought, only a thought. If my life
That is Dido, D-I-D-O, singing Life for Rent. And I think that raises an interesting question. Is your life for rent? Is it on the open market? Is it for sale? How about you, Rochelle? Do you feel like your life is kind of a temporary quarters that you're inhabiting, your physical being?
Physical being, yeah. I feel like it definitely is. First of all, Lord and Lady Umbridge, that was really fun. It was fun to have you here. I felt in many ways you were just like us at that moment, you know, having a conversation on the radio. So thank you. I hope you come again.
Well, it's always good to have a British perspective.
That's on the other hand.
On the other?
I realized something as this music was playing and I had been listening to Lord and Lady Umbridge. I mean, I realized that the way I get the closest to this sense of, I would call it the absolute, or some people want to call it God, some people want to call it the mystery, some people want to call it whatever. This thing that's beyond us in many ways is undefinable. Through a door of non-judgment, I realize how many times I judge things as good, bad, worse, better, that keep it away from me, that don't allow me to connect fully with it, because whatever I'm thinking about it, I'm looking at it from a distance. But when I become one with it, that's a whole other thing. On the other hand, how do we become one with something? Especially if you have those judgments and you know only too well that they seem to save your life.
Hello, this is Rabbi Greenberg. I'd like to step in and give you perhaps another hand. This is not the sound of one hand clapping. It's the sound of three hands clapping, which is even more difficult to comprehend. But I'd like to suggest that, on the other hand, the way we look at the now and how we know we're in the now is not something you have to get to. And that seems to be the biggest thing we trip over. We think it's something that has to be done to get there, when, in fact, we're already there. What the doing is a combination of playing around in a universe that's full of interesting opportunities, which is the life that you're given, but not to get attached to any of it, because there's always another hand. There's always another point of view, another perspective, another way you'll see yourself, you'll see life. You can almost say every other moment there's another hand.
I totally agree with you. I don't always agree with you, but right now I totally agree with you. So I'm not even the other hand. I'm with you on your hand.
So it's the same hand. But if we want it on the other hand, you have to take into account the position that some people have, which is that they think life is out there and they are over here. It's a very easy thing to get seduced into, which is why I like the definition of the word sin. People talk about sin, oh, convicted of sin. Oh, yeah, I'm a sinner. Oh, yeah, sin, sin. But I have a different way of looking at sin. I have a little acronym. S-I-N stands for seduced into nonsense. That's right. It's nonsense. Whatever it is that you're doing is taking you away from love is nonsense. And you can't make sense of it. On the other hand, it's a very compelling, nonsensical formation that appears before you. And it says, I'm real and come to me. We have to remember that we are in charge of our own being. And there's just the stuff that comes and it goes.
Thank you.
It's my pleasure to come.
It does.
Life comes, it goes, it comes, and there's always another hand to shake, which is a good thing to do.
Yes, it was a good thing to do. I don't know why this struck me, and it may have nothing to do with what we're doing. But on the other hand, there's a picture of Putin and Obama in Time magazine, and Obama is putting out his hand, and he's sort of sideways, and Putin is facing forwards, and he's sort of put out his hand. And at that moment, the camera captures it. Putin's hands are straight down by his side. And this man is putting out a hand, and another man is not going to shake it at that moment that the camera took the picture of. And I realized that's the basis for so many of our problems. We don't shake hands.
You know, shaking hands originally came about a long time ago because it was a way you showed your adversary, if you will, or your potential enemy, that you didn't have a weapon. And so they shook hands so they could have a truce and have matzos, falafel.
Really? Is that true?
Yes. It's as true as we can know from a distance of how many centuries that may have occurred.
Wow, that's really neat. I like that. Nowadays, of course, not that many people walk around with weapons, but they use the handshake as a way to connect. Creates a connection, and even if it's fleeting, and even if it won't go very far at all, it's still a connection.
On the other hand, think of all the different handshakes you've had in your life as you listen to our program, Insight Out the Naked Truth, O Ye Listener. Think of all the different handshakes and how they're so different. They can range from a hand that's kind of fishy. It even smells like a fish. It's so wobbly.
You don't mean handshake. You mean hands that you shake.
Well, yes. What did you think? Just kind of waving my hand.
No, because a handshake, I thought it was different ways to shake one's hand. You're talking about the hand that you shook could be like fishy.
See, now that's another hand.
I didn't understand.
Well, there you go. Yes, the way you shake hands. And then there's the other extreme. The guy practically breaks your hand when he shakes it. And then there's the person who extend just the front part of their hand. There's just all kinds of handshake. And the handshake is a unique opportunity that doesn't get as much credit that it deserves for being such an opportunity to not only make connection, however brief, but to ponder the nature and quality of that connection just based on the handshake.
Yes, it's skin touching skin. Even if you hug somebody, chances are, unless you live at Lupin, where you can be naked, you're going through clothes. You're not skin on skin, but your hands are skin on skin.
On the other hand, is not most often the first contact we make is eye contact. the shaking of the hand usually comes after that. And how much information is passed in that eye contact? On the other hand, maybe the first contact is the guy yells from the other room, "Barney!" "Oh, Barney, that's good. Hi, this is Barney, and glad you called me from the other room, dear, because sometimes the first opportunity I have to make contact with someone is when they're yelling at me. And then I go look and see who's yelling and what are they yelling about and why do I have to put up with the yelling at me, person? What did I do wrong? I want to say to this person who's yelling at me because they have an expectation of how I should be and I didn't live up to that expectation. I would like to say to that person, on the other hand, maybe your point of view isn't absolute, and see how they respond to that.
On the other hand, they could say, why don't you try it and see if you like it? My point of view.
On the other hand, I could say the same thing. Or we could say, and this is always a great question to pop into those kind of adversarial kind of interchanges, is what is it that we can agree on? That is a great follow-up to, on the other hand, what can we agree on? And see if we can build from there.
And we shake on it.
By the way, you can shake with either hand. A lot of people, they think like there's a rule or a law, there's a violation in the Constitution that says you cannot shake with your left hand. No, you can shake either hand. Either one is okay. You can shake left to right and right to left and left, left, right, right, right. It's all kinds of combinations that are open for you.
Thank you, Barney. On the other hand, I want to talk more about this hand thing. We're talking about the other hand, and I know we're talking about it as another perspective, another way of seeing, but there's also the idea of the hand. And I loved when we started to talk about the handshake and our hands and the way we express things through our hands. And the other hand is looking at the other hand, and they're talking, and people talk in sign languages. They use their hands, and it's such a beautiful language because it's used. And when you say, on the other hand, and you're speaking sign language, it's a whole other word that you have to go to.
Don't they call that gesticulating?
Maybe.
I think that's gesticulating. It's an interesting word when you think about gesticulating, because gesting in there, like the baby's gesting in there, right? Then it's like it gesticulates, which is kind of like it matriculates. It's like it goes from being in and waiting around, gestating, and then it hops aboard the matriculation train and then gets into the state of matriculate, the rest of the word.
Oh, my God. I don't think I can follow that. Barney, I don't think you can follow that. On the other hand, what are you talking about?
I'm talking about the way that words show up and try and, to some extent, succeed in making sense of our experience in life. It's quite something when you think about the role language plays in everyday experience and how fast we have come to process it. I remember there was a time when I basically all I said was, "Mama." I didn't have much more to say after that, and I couldn't get the parts in my mouth and brain to work together to even say anything more than that. Look at me now, on the other hand. I'm just blabbing away, just like this. It's as if I knew what I was talking about.
That's pretty true. On the other hand, well, let me say, Barney, life is a series of wonderful opportunities to expand our consciousness. When you water a plant, it starts to grow. You can actually physically see it growing. And so much is going on within that plant. Now, we don't always do it physically, but there's that same process goes on. As we feed something, it will grow with that nourishment. So when we feed something like beautiful music, beautiful paintings, higher thoughts, that's the way that person will grow.
On the other hand, it's, I guess I want to say, make a stairway to heaven.
There's a lady who's sure all that glitters is gold, and There's a sign on the wall, but she wants to be sure. 'Cause you know sometimes words have meaning. In a tree by the brook, there's a songbird who sings. Sometimes all of our thoughts come this year.
That was Led Zeppelin's Stairway to Heaven. He goes on to say in the song, there's a feeling I get when I look to the west and my spirit is crying for leaving. In my thoughts, I have seen rings of smoke through the trees and the voices of those who stand looking. And it's whispered that soon, if we all call the tune, then the piper will lead us to reason. And the new day will dawn for those who stand long, and the forests will echo with laughter. Thank you, Led Zeppelin. That does kind of give you hope. There's an on the other hand dilemma. Those who don't have hope, then on the other hand, those who do.
What does that mean, to have hope? You have hope that something is going to change?
For the better.
Whatever it is.
Yeah.
So it has to be bad to have hope, or do you have hope when it's good? Hope for something else.
I think you can keep going with the hope.
Can always get better.
On the other hand, some would say that hope is kind of a betrayer because it raises your hopes.
On the other hand, I guess I have another way of dealing with that. When we drop into the now, which means we don't do anything, we just are here, there is no better or worse. To have hope to get something better, maybe the hope is that I can remain right here because it's all right here. So it's not that it will get better or worse, it's just that I engage with life differently. I don't see life as either giving me something or taking something from me. I see myself as life, and I'm just respirating. Like I'm looking outside myself for that. Hope implies that something's going to come to you from somewhere else.
On the other hand, hope to me is like setting the stage for possibility. It awakens that impulse that something could happen. And it adds to it this projection that it could be a good thing.
But I don't think that you need that in a state of at one moment.
On the other hand, as Paul said in his great letter to the Corinthians, there exist hope, faith, and love, but the greatest is love, which is the at one moment. But the hope kind of sets the stage for the faith. To get from hope to faith,
you need a good horse.
A good horse? Didn't think it needs such a thing as a good horse.
To get from hope to faith. The distance is not so long.
Because hope is like this expectation that's awakened of possibility. Like, what would be a synonym for hope?
Wish?
Yeah, hope for something.
Desire?
And then you have faith. Faith, going back to the Bible, that great definition of faith, which says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So the hope goes through a transition into faith where we know, we have this confidence that that which was hoped for is forthcoming. And I believe it's because we live more closely in the now. That's what faith allows us to experience, which is life in the now, where desire and satisfaction also are one.
It is all one. It's this sense of like, I have no needs that aren't already met when I'm right here. The minute I seem to feel lack and I want something else, I could have the hope that I'm going to get it, faith that I will have it, but I already have it. It's almost like a catch-22, because here's one sense, you believe you can have something, and then the realization that you already have it. Do you understand what I'm saying? Mister?
Yes, Mister. Yes, I am known as Mister quite often, or Sir. I used to balk at that because Sir implied someone who was like my father and his friends.
Yes, the realization we are. I remember when my mother died after my father died, and I realized I was an orphan. And then I realized that I was the matriarch, that I was the top of the heap, so to speak. And below me was my children and their children, that I was the top. I had arisen, so to speak. And it was a very stunning experience. Because on one hand, I was thinking I was an orphan. I was thinking of myself as a child. On the other hand, I realized that I was the mother. I was the grandmother. I was that person that I no longer had.
On the other hand, you were the person that was about to fall off the earth next.
That's right. I'm next in line
right to go.
It's a very interesting experience because on one hand, you're bereft. On the other hand, you've reached a plateau, which is like, oh, my goodness. I'm at the top of the mountain. I didn't even know I had arrived.
It's a mystery, isn't it? On the other hand, it makes me think and reminds me that really everyone is different. And we experience it. And that's why there's so many on the other hands, billions of them. Guess who that was?
Our friend?
No, you're thinking of Pato Baton. Right. No, that was a guy by the name of Errol.
No.
Yeah, Errol Dunkley.
Dunkley?
D-U-N-K-L-E-Y. Dunkley. Hello, this is Father O'Malley there. He's from the Dunkley clan. They were in the certain part of the Northern Ireland there, the Dunkleys. They were originally the old Dunkleys until they came to the States there and they took off the O because certain Irish folks, when they came here in the 19th century, were not so popular. Of course, people like now thinking the immigrants are going to take away the jobs, and sure enough, isn't that what's happening now? Do you know that the issue of immigration was the biggest issue right now in the American voters' minds? Of all the things that popped to the top of their concerns, it was the immigration issue. And then you've got all these Syrians and people like that coming over to Europe. Of course, they passed right through Romania and Hungary because no money there, and they're going up to Germany. At first, the Germans were very welcoming of the Syrians. They actually stood at the train station and applauded them. On the other hand, you don't see too much applauding of the incoming Syrians anymore. Because the reality is, on the other hand, where are you going to put them? And that would be what we're trying to comprehend here with this.
On the other hand, we've been all over the place. I feel like we've gone through maybe more than two hands. We've gone through many, many hands because we've been on the other hand. And then the other hand, we have touched on so many things because we have been dealing with on the other hand. Once you start dealing with on the other hand, there's no stopping.
On the other hand, we could pursue a line directly now of all the things we've brought up. We could stop and reconsider and say, what's really most calling to us? I'll give you an on the other hand about that.
You will?
Yes. Free. This one's free. The next one will cost you another hand. I was blowing my birthday candle out the other day. Rochelle was very nice. I had a birthday on September 23rd, and I had a half a Fig Newton, and Rochelle put in the candle in the half a Fig Newton.
Well, because we wanted to blow out a candle. It's not a birthday unless you do that.
We did. I blew out the candle, but I remember thinking, what do I wish for? Going back to the question of there's hope, you hope for something better, and then there's faith where you kind of know you got it, even though you don't really see it. There's a knowing. I hope for fearlessness, basically, because I recognize that fearlessness, or its replacement that comes with the warranty, which is love, is really the only reality to come from. And it is, in essence, the only reality we ever do come from, which brings me back to that whole thing about the Course in Miracles, which is all this phenomenon, activity, is just an illusion. But on the other hand, it's a very complicated illusion.
I always think when they say illusion, it's not to take it seriously. We think of things of substance can't be an illusion. And we believe that all these molecules moving around and around create a substance. And therefore, it's not an illusion. I always believe that what they were really talking about is that we don't take it seriously. That we realize its finiteness, that it will pass. It doesn't have the hold on us that creates an identification with it. So therefore, if we realize it's temporary, in that sense, it's an illusion.
On the other hand, as the Course in Miracles says in some of its early lessons, I give meaning to everything I experience. And so if I am seeing phenomena through the meanings that I give it, well, then clearly that's an illusion because those are just meanings that I give it. They're just made up. I'm not actually ever seeing phenomena as it is straight on, because I've imposed all this meaning on it, which in turn comes out of the projections of the body and its perception, interpretation of its perceptions as keyed by pleasure and pain impulses and other influences, and to concoct this story that is consciousness that I put out upon everything like a garment.
On the other hand, if we can view our life the way we go to a movie and it's made up of all the things of life, the dramas and the comedies and the pain and the emotion. It's an emotional roller coaster, and you sit in the movie theater and you cry and you laugh and you, everything. But then you leave the theater and you're in another place. I always think that our life is like that. Get totally caught up in it, but it's a movie and it moves on and we go to another place. When I realize that, somehow it gives me a great deal of, what's the word?
Hope?
No, it's almost a sense of security.
Oh.
That I'm aware that I don't have to take it seriously.
So is it like a personal security or a social security?
Only the first four letters are social security. The rest I made up.
On the other hand.
It's like making up passwords. We have so many passwords. You make them up so that they identify you.
But on the other hand, how many times have I had to click the button that says, did you forget your password? I have a shame attack. Thank God they don't see me. I just turn into a blithering, concave kind of phenomenon with wrinkles.
You forgot your password, yeah. You bad person.
I'm always forgetting it. And then they say you should change it. Anyway, I do want to remind our listeners that our program is sponsored by Go Raw. And you can get Go Raw at Whole Foods or Trader Joe's or the organic section of Costco, which we're fond of saying. Our Costco membership has ended for the year, and we're kind of dragging our heels about continuing on in this deeply profound relationship that we've had with Costco.
On the other hand, and now that we can get Go Raw from Costco, I mean, you know, and give it to all our friends, we should definitely reapply. Wasn't supposed to be a Costco advertisement. It's supposed to be a Go Raw advertisement. Yeah.
On the other hand, it's all good. There's no judgment. I remember when I was out on the road doing seminars on hypnotherapy for people to quit smoking and lose weight, and I was in Arkansas, I think. I had a couple of days off, and I was staying in the motel room, and I was meditating and really trying to get into that place where it all exists and the oneness and the presence and all that. And I looked out my window, and I saw a sign, big, took up my whole visual picture, and it said, always. And it turns out, if you looked at the rest of the sign, it was a Walmart sign. Must say something like always here or whatever. But if you do pay attention, you do get to see kind of fun, miraculous things. And I like what Yeshua says in the Keys of Yeshua. He says, expect a blessing. Worry is the opposite of that. Worry is like projecting something that's not going to be good. So it's different than hope. It's like expect a blessing, because the universe is just eager to, well, bless you.
Bless you.
Gesundheit. Speaking of Gesundheit, Professor, we have another professor, Professor von Schniegelhauser, is that how you say it?
Von Schniegelhauser, yeah, that's how he said it. Oh, just call me Professor Schniegel Schnitzel. People here, they constantly call me Schnitzel because they have a lot of Werners here, and I call them Werner. There was Werner Erhard, and then there, of course, was always Werner Schnitzel. But we are never very good in Germany with the jokes. We are not known as a very joking, like, very funny people. If anything, we are known with people who talk like I do, which is this kind of guttural sound. I wouldn't like to listen to it myself if I didn't have to, and it's in my side, my head's all the time. Even though I try to speak French to myself, but the problem is I don't speak French. So I just speak German with the French accent, which is not very easy to do. Ah, Gestaltenberger. Ah, oui, and see, it's. On the other hand, we Germans, you know, we are very good at the things we are good at. We are very efficient, and here we are, my friends back in Germany, considering all these refugees you are talking about coming into and how to treat them and where to put them up and the health care and all the other things. And so while I'm becoming aware of it, this is just the beginning of the mass population movement that is going to take place. And I read that book of Yeshua that you're talking about. talks about in this next century, there's going to be so many changes that will be coming down onto people's lives, and people will have to be ready to make these changes. Otherwise, they won't be ready.
On the other hand, if they're not ready, they will be taken by surprise.
Thank you, Professor, by the way. That reminds me of an amazing little story when the flood in New Orleans, Katrina, the storm. Well, it became a flood. And I met some person whose grandmother had died in the flooding. And she was living in an old senior center. There shows you my age. I was going to say an old folks' farm, but we don't farm them out like we used to.
No.
And he told me that she was deaf and blind, which means that when the waters poured through into wherever she was, she had no sensory forward knowing that it was even coming. On the other hand, unlike most all the rest of the people who saw it, heard about it, that just really struck me that you're there, you're sitting, and all of a sudden, whoosh, you're overtaken by this mass of water. It's just an incident. There was nothing really profound about it to say.
It hurt my heart.
Oh, it did.
I don't know why that shouldn't, because everything I've been saying is like, there's this moment. And
yeah, so
there's
like
a surprise, and all of a sudden you're not there anymore. Had she been prepared, what would have been part of that for her would have been an upsurge of fear. She was died fright. But this time, she just died.
You could say, on the other hand, it was a good thing. But either way, it's a provocative moment when you think about it. Just think about it for a second while we experience, on the other hand, a totally different way.
On one hand, I count the reasons I could stay with you and hold you close to me all night long. So many lovers' games I'd love to play with you. On that hand, there's no reason why it's wrong. But on the other hand, there's a golden band to remind me of someone who would not understand. On one hand, I could stay and be your loving man, but the reason I must go is on the other hand. In your arms I feel the passion I thought it died when I looked into your eyes. I found myself, and when I first kissed your lips, I felt so alive. I've got to hand it to you, girl, you're something else. But on the other hand,
literally on the other hand.
On the other hand, Randy yes. Travis. When I looked that up today, I was kind of looking for music, and I looked up on the other hand to see if there were some songs on the other hand. They were on the other page, as it turns out. But there was a million covers of that song by, it seems like, almost every country singer that ever existed, even some New York City country singers. Of the country music ilk. Speaking of ilks.
Big animals.
The Ilks. Speaking of Ilks, someone sent me a video of the, I guess it was the elk, walking through the streets of downtown Estes Park.
No.
Yeah. We used to go to Estes Park. That's in Colorado, for those of you who haven't been there. And you go from Estes Park right to the top of Rocky Mountain National Park there. Speaking of, on the other hand, you get a perspective of reality that really sets you back and makes you go, it's really big. And that's just a fraction of a tiny fraction of the fraction of it.
And we're just these tiny little dots from the sky. You see us, and then we disappear completely.
On the other hand, within ourselves, we're so much. We take up all of ourselves.
We do take up all ourselves. That's a great image. We take up all of ourselves.
And it's such a paradox, because from anywhere else in the universe, we're really tiny, as you pointed out, but within ourselves, we're like this big, constant happening of self-awareness interacting with this backdrop, if you will, of otherness. And so we're constantly playing the on-the-other-hand game. And I think that's what the first moral decision really is. I read once that we make our first moral choice, and that's what sets us apart from animals, let's say. And I know there's a lot of other hand in that point of view, but just hold that for a second while I just do this other hand. That our first moral choice is, on the other hand, in this sense, up to a certain point, we are primarily moved about by forces, impulses. Think of a baby. Think of sex. Think of eating. Think of so much that was driven by impulse. But the moral possibility, which is really what truly makes us human, is when we can consider another point of view that isn't just driven by genetics or conditioning or social system or circumstances. We could actually sort of step outside of our experience and ask the question, led there by, on the other hand, is there another way to look at this? Another way to behold this. And that's when we first start breaking free of the conditioned self. And that's the beginning of our journey toward full self-realization.
I don't even know if there's another hand after that. Then to say, yeah, this moment is like watching a chicken break through an egg into another reality. Like watching a baby be born, what had been a fetus, and all of a sudden it's a baby. And every moment, and some moments are so small you can't really record them or see them, but they happen the same way. You break through to another awareness. And each one of those breakthroughs, of course, create an expanded consciousness. The more expanded the consciousness, the greater your ability to become oneness.
And the more expanded your consciousness and awareness, the greater your will capacity. Some people think that doing the God's will, for example, is
eating, you know, good food.
Or going here or not going there or visiting your grandmother that you never really got along with. But God's will is this fundamental force that we have been given that allows activities to move through time and have motion into the future. Will has more to play with the more expanded you are. So it's really an expanding one's capacity to interact richly and creatively and with novelty and curiosity with phenomenon. And so the more we embrace or allow to affect us, the more expanded we become, the more we can embrace and allow to affect us.
Everyone and everything, and that's what I'm talking about. That's the doorway to love, is this expanded consciousness that allows us to become one with another person, a thing, or whatever. You experience where there's no separation. I am right here, right now. There's no tomorrow. There's no past other than everything that I'm incorporated of. And in that space, there's total freedom.
Dancing. in the middle of the street, breaking into song or singing out of key. And if you fall in love, go on and kiss that girl or boy. And if you like your music loud, make a little noise. When you let it go, what they say is true. When you let it go, it'll come right back to you. Say what you need to say, and if you need to make a change, go on and walk away. If something's in your heart, you gotta let it out. Go on and show the whole wide world what you are all about. When you let it go, what they say is true. When you let it go, it'll come right back to you. We're here and then we're gone. So open up your hands, no more holding on. When you let it go, what they say is true. When you let it go, it'll come right back to you. When you let it go.
There's a Rich on the other hand. You can hold on. On the other hand, you could let it go. And the letting go, as he points out, is freedom.
Who is he?
That was Tyrone Wells. I've just discovered Tyrone Wells. I don't mean I've discovered him and made him famous. I've discovered him for myself. And Tyrone has written some wonderful songs that are exploring that rich spiritual dimension, but not like most of the, well, kind of cheesy, as some would say. Others might use the word schmaltzy.
On the other hand, of course, you're not judging it.
Right. Be that as it may, we kind of need to wrap it up. On the other hand, we could just kind of keep going, I guess, forever.
As it may.
On the other hand, we probably do need to wrap it up. This is Inside Out.
The Naked Truth.
I'm Errol Strider.
And I'm Rochelle Alicia Strider.
With that, we're going to say good night.
Except that before we do, I want to remind you that resistance is what you add to pain to make it last longer and hurt more.
On the other hand...
Our co-sponsor for this program is Universe Spirit, providing education on Job 1 for Humanity, Climate Restabilization Plan, and the Evolutionary Principles for a Sustainable Prosperity. Come visit universespirit.org and learn more about the great adaptive challenges and transformative evolutionary adventures of our future.